This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
It's time for our Monday serial, a respectable veneer written by Rachel Doré, published by Upstart Press and narrated by Romy Hooper. This serial has been made possible by funding from the Earl Creativity and Development Trust with collaboration from Manawatu People's Radio. A Respectable Veneer is a story about love and courage, but we remind you of our regular content warning. There are elements of violence and references to child abuse. Last time we saw Edie trying to behave herself. Ruby found herself taken in hand by her employer, and she met her co-worker Janice, who pointed out all the rules of working at Sal and Vado.
Why didn't you say something last night? Douglas said when Ruby told him about Salon Vado. We could have celebrated with... He looked around the kitchen. With something. Well, I'd say it was a brilliant stroke of good fortune.
I'm glad you didn't use the word luck. I don't believe in luck, she said.
You've certainly landed on your feet.
Ruby closed her eyes. Don't say that either. I don't want to jinx it. He lit another cigarette.
You're a funny girl, he said.
Across the room, a couple of residents raised their voices over news of the latest plans for a bridge across Auckland's harbour. One used his arms to define what he recalled about the waterfront, while the other gestured in another direction, arguing the point. Edie, who'd been taken under Pim's wing, was in the kitchen with the others listening to a talent show on the radio. The noise of intermittent laughter and the radio came through to the dining room. From the lounge, the strains of someone playing a guitar met the sounds from the kitchen crowd, a din that made discreet conversation difficult.
I say, Douglas blurted, will you let me take you to the cinema? You and young Edie. It could be a celebration.
He reached for the roughly refolded Evening Standard.
I'll find out what's on. There's bound to be something new at the Regent or the State, or one of them. Wherever they're showing the latest...
Ruby's face heated. She lowered her voice. We don't even know you.
That's why it will be delightful. Please say you will.
People were listening. Didn't Douglas notice? Doing anything enjoyable was not in her plan. It would be nice for Edie. She couldn't deny it would be nice for her too. Still, it was all well and good to be beginning to feel at ease with Douglas Woods, but that did not mean she was ready to spend time in any man's company. On the other hand, he'd be paying for tickets.
It can be an early session, he said. I'd really like to have someone to go with.
We'll see, Ruby smiled.
Splendid. Shall we make it the early session tomorrow?
Why not, she said, suddenly reckless. Since it's a celebration, and since you say Edie and I are friends. The hem of Mrs. Thompson's skirts was almost done. Tilting the eye of the needle towards the light, she threaded the silco through and started on the last few inches. When she looked up, Douglas was blowing smoke rings into the air. I've just remembered, Ruby said. I'm sorry, we can't.
Can't?
We're moving out of number 9 tomorrow. I probably have to boil the sheets.
Oh.
He sat forward, his mouth shutting and opening as though words to express his disappointment eluded him. He looked lost. I am sorry, Ruby said again.
No, of course. Can't be helped.
Next Saturday might be all right,
she said.
His grin was like that of a small boy who'd been given half a crown.
Next Saturday, then.
The dispute about Auckland and the harbour bridge came to an end as one of the pair stalked off in a huff. Those remaining started on about politics, opinions about Americans, and trouble in the Malayan Peninsula, their voices rising. Ruby snipped the thread and folded the garment. How's the Bon brush business?
Going rather well lately, Douglas said. The rural settlements are always good.
I'm picturing you trekking through the wop-wops with your suitcase, Ruby laughed, like a Bon brush version of Livingstone. He laughed too.
I wouldn't put it quite like that, but sometimes I wonder about going bush myself. No trekking, though. I've got a nice little Morris.
Edie burst into the room, the air flurrying around her. Mum! Mum! Oh, hello, Mr. Woods. Mum, you should have heard. The lady who won Have a Shot sang just as good as Rosemary Clooney. Honestly, exactly the same.
It was too late to admonish her for interrupting. Douglas had begun singing, and Edie was joining him in harmony.
The evening breeze caressed the trees tenderly. The trembling trees embraced the breeze tenderly.
They laughed as they reached the end. Someone in the doorway clapped. All right, that's enough. Say goodnight to Mr. Woods. It's time for us to go up.
Oh, Mum, it's early.
She was so good all day, Ruby told Douglas, her arm around Edie's shoulders.
I'm sure she was an angel, he chuckled.
I was, Mr. Woods, Edie said earnestly. I was, truly, and it was painful. All day I was so quiet, I got really worried my tongue might forget how to make words.
Douglas wheezed with laughter.
I'm sure you don't have to worry.
He wiped his eyes with his handkerchief. Ruby pushed open the door of number 5 to a room that was shabbier than the one they'd just left. See? 2 beds and a wardrobe that's empty. She gave Edie's shoulders a squeeze and tried to sound bright. We can hang our things up. And drawers, look. Edie's nose twisted.
It stinks.
It's on the ground floor. Ruby's attempt to be encouraging sank to her feet, recalling the mould and rot in the house in Freeman's Bay. Never mind, we might not be here long.
Humph.
Edie said, pulling at the dusty lace curtain.
There's a spider and dead flies.
No point going on about it, Ruby snapped. The ply of the wardrobe door had split and flaked in places, and they'd have to leave it open to prevent the stench of mould penetrating the fine wool clothes Ruby owed to Vardo. You take that bed, Ruby said, feeling the thin, lumpy mattresses. I'll take this one by the door. The beds were no better than the one at number 9. Still, at least there were 2 of them. Edie hung back.
Look, it's Monday and nobody's going to school, and I just saw a girl skipping in her yard. It's the first day of the school holidays, that's why. Why do we have to go to your work?
I don't want to have to tell you all over again. Ruby made a grab for her hand. Come on.
I just wish we didn't have to.
Well, we do. Come on. Ruby stopped herself telling Edie it was the way of the world for people in their position. Buck up, chicken. Anyway, you had a week's holiday from school.
That doesn't count.
You should just be glad I've got a job. And isn't it interesting, seeing what I'm doing?
I should have stayed with Auntie Pym.
Well, you're not. I don't want to hear any more about it. Madam put a smock on Edie,
pinned up the sleeves and set her to sorting and counting beads into pillboxes. Edie was delighted. Other than growls and grunts of frustration when she lost count, she was silent. Eventually, she returned to the settee and flicked through Janice's magazines. Madam appeared and made a show of approval.
Well done, Edith. If you promise to finish that tomorrow, you can leave it all on the tray. You can go down now and have some lemonade.
Ruby and Madam exchanged smiles as Edie tried not to stump her way down the stairs.
Now, we will talk, said Madam. Your circumstances do not interest me. You have much potential, I think. A nice trim figure. You could present well. I can use you, but there are things that must change.
There was nothing to say to that.
So, we shall enter an arrangement.
Madam put her hand up to silence any query about to make its way to Ruby's tongue.
You must go to the department store, Collinson and Cunningham. Janice will tell you where it is. Go now at once to the ladies' wear department. Ask for Mrs. Sinclair. I have telephoned her. She is waiting. She will help you choose a fashionable, modest outfit and whatever you need to go underneath.
Edie appeared at the top of the stairs.
Edith, Madam said, your mother has finished for the day. We're just having a little talk. Would you like to pick a lemon from my tree? Mama could make some lemonade for you.
I suggest, she said in Ruby's ear when Edie had gone, another brassiere. Mrs. Sinclair will help you. Also, you will need better shoes. Black. You are sensible, I think, and proper hosiery. Mrs. Sinclair knows. All will be charged to my account.
Ruby's face heated. Tainted thoughts tumbled through her mind and landed heavily in her chest.
My dear, do not be embarrassed.
Madam lightly stroked Ruby's cheek. After everything she'd been through, Ruby didn't think she was capable of embarrassment. There it was, the cringing itch of it. Madam's hand was cool.
This is not a gift. For me, this is a necessary business matter. You are now working at Salon Vardo. Your appearance must be so. A small amount will be deducted each week from your wages.
It stuck like a fishbone in Ruby's craw. Once again, she was being put into a position where there was little choice. Still, this time at least, she was given the prestige of working in a fashionably respectable milliner's. What her employer had said now tainted everything. Madam drew a thin fold of banknotes from her pocket.
There is enough here, I think, to buy something for Edith. Perhaps there is something else you may need?
Ruby shied at the money in Madam's outstretched hand. The skin of her back crawled with self-loathing. She couldn't. Madam moved her hand, holding the money closer. The outer red £5 note had more of the same folded inside it.
But the wages?
Ruby's question was unformed. This rung of the ladder up wasn't holding her.
You have weekly expenses, Madam smiled. That I have not overlooked. My dear, for now, 5 shillings repayment each week should leave you with enough.
Enough? Ruby hadn't asked what she might expect in the way of wages, but 5 shillings a week was going to cut a slice out of it. A new outfit, shoes and so on would rack up a sizable bill. It would take ages to pay it back. All she could see ahead was a long stretch of indentured millinery work. The notes burned as Madam put the wad of money into Ruby's palm and closed her fingers over it. For a moment, the older woman's fingers lingered on her own. Had a shadow passed behind the dark eyes?
Thank you, Madam.
Ruby choked on the words. She hated herself for the blush prickling her face, for wanting to ask the question, for wanting the money, for taking it. More than that, she hated herself for her need. Madam had more to say.
Upon this matter, I trust you to be discreet. This week we will do paperwork. Also, your fingernails need care, but never mind. They are not so bad. You are in the workroom for now. Later, we will see.
Looking down the stairwell, Ruby paused. Edie was at the foot of the stairs, holding a ripe yellow lemon to her nose, her face shining with pleasure. Ruby knew she looked good. Walking to work next morning, with the skirt sliding over the new nylon stockings, she ought to have felt wonderful. The fine denier stockings showed that she ought to shave her legs, and the chic jacket didn't shield her chest from the wind, but she could hardly wear that old coat over this outfit. Her hair was held up with new hairpins and a faux tortoiseshell hair slide, but frizzy wisps were blown across her face.
You work at Vardo now.
She hardly noticed Edie, quiet for once, doing her best to keep up, striding along next to her. Madam expressed her approval as they came up to the porch.
Good,
she had said simply in that way of hers. You look really pretty today, said Janice. The way your hair's in a French roll like that. Your eyes look much brighter. Really pretty with it off your face.
Thanks, Ruby said.
You look different. You aren't in love, are you? Very funny, said Ruby. It's probably the effect of having comfortable shoes. Saying it was decent clothes and the lift of a new brassiere would be too corny, like a woman in an advertisement. Douglas would have approved too, but he'd gone off early, into the back blocks again with his mops and brushes, Ruby supposed. Edie tugged at Janice.
Do you like my new jumper and matching cardigan?
Oh, a twin set, very snazzy, said Janice kindly. Edie lifted her chin, grinning.
My hair will probably spring undone before the end of the day, said Ruby. Some days it won't do anything.
You've got such a nice shaped head. You should get it all cut off.
Like a boy,
cried Edie. Ruby frowned at her.
Shh, no noise.
Janice took a magazine from a shelf.
Look, one of these pixie cuts, all the rage overseas.
Be easier to brush, I suppose, said Ruby.
I'd love to do it for you.
Janice flicked through the pages.
No, cried Edie. Don't do it, Mum. I won't know you if you do.
Ruby put a finger to lips.
Shh, and don't be silly.
I do barrels here, said Janice. Cuts, permanent waves. It's boring because she always wants the same thing. No actual style to it. She's given up on herself. Oh, do say you'll give me a go. I wanted to be a lady's hairdresser once, you know.
Why aren't you? Oh, back then, with the war and everything. My big brother Angus getting killed, then Beryl's husband missing and all that. The chance to go to hairdressing school sort of passed. Doesn't stop me seeing hairstyles and films and magazines, though. And I like working here now.
Oh, look at this one.
She pointed at a page.
Audrey Hepburn,
chuckled Ruby.
That'd really suit you. Very ooh-la-la. Or that one, with the curly fringe.
What would Madam say? Ruby said. It was mad to consider letting someone cut her hair when they'd hardly known one another for 5 minutes. Ruby watched Janice turning pages of the magazine, lips slightly parted in a soft smile. There was something irresistible about her.
I think she might like it, persisted Janice. She won't sack you. She likes you. It'll grow back soon enough, anyhow, if you don't like it. Anyway, you're up here most of the time.
I'll think it over.
You're in the right place to get a hat to hide it, if you hate it.
Ruby chuckled.
We'll see.
I know what that means, said Edie.
If you do decide, said Janice, the two of you could come round to our place for tea one night, and I can do it then.
Let me think about it, Ruby hedged.
How about Friday? It won't be fish, though. Beryl's allergic.
Ruby found herself smiling as she worked through the afternoon. A haircut wouldn't hurt. Could she be on the verge of exhilarating recklessness? A new flicker of warmth ignited inside her. All week, Edie tried to stay quiet in the workroom and failed. Madam had given Ruby tiny velvet flowers to arrange in clusters and stems to bind. Even watching this had not interested Edie. Ruby had given up whispering instructions, admonishments, and encouragement. In an effort to stay calm, she'd gritted her teeth for so long, she felt her jaw had locked. At the end of each day, she felt wrung out.
Just be glad I've got a job, she told Edie.
Edie's response was a sour look. Ruby had no time for it. By the time Mrs. T was paid for the week's board and Madam's 5 shillings was taken out of her wages, there was nothing left.
We just have to carry on.
She said it to herself as much as to her daughter. That's what people used to say. Never mind how you feel about it, carry on. The high point of the week was being entertained by Douglas when he came back from a couple of days down the line. He told her, with theatrical effects for Edie's sake, about brushes for horses and brushes for cleaning saddles, ladies scrubbing farmhouse floors and the value of clothes brushes for getting moths out of clothes. The other residents threw in their own anecdotes and tall tales until it was Edie's bedtime. That night, Ruby worked her body between lumps in the mattress. When sleep came, she dreamed of poupettes hounding her, demanding some unnamed thing Ruby didn't have. Friday was too far off.
You've been listening to A Respectable Veneer, a serialized novel by Rachel Doré, read by Romy Hooper. Listen to the next episode at 8 p.m. next Monday, or for the rest of the series, go to npr.nz/show/respectableveneer, or search for A Respectable Veneer wherever you find your podcasts.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.